time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
And we're back here. Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, filling in for Charlie Evers. And my earphone just fell out of my ear.
Certainly did.
Holy mackerel.
Well, I'm glad people can't hear what we talk about when we're off the air.
Well, I said earlier on during the break, if people only knew the things that went on in this studio. Now, okay, this is the Charlie Evers Show, as we have said. And Glenn has persuaded me to play. Now, this just happened last December.
I love it. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'll tell you, it's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Charlie clip of the past 6 years. And every time I hear it, I can't help but laugh. And I was there when it happened, and I've heard it.
And we need to pre-apologize to the gentleman that called in today, Bob, because Charlie kind of
You got to understand what's happening. Okay, what happened is that it's become a tradition that the last Charlie show before Christmas, Charlie and myself
get loaded.
Yeah, moonshine and eggnog. Well, this happened in the latter portion of the show, so we had each had quite a few at this particular juncture.
Synapses.
Yes, and Terry and Sean were both here in the studio, and it got a little strange for about 3 minutes, and
this can't be as good as the beep day, though.
Oh, this is better than the beep. Okay. So here it goes. This just because we want to make sure Charlie, even though he's not here, is
here.
Yeah, that we get to hear Charlie on this show. Oh, man. Say a little word to the wise.
Put your seatbelt on, Charlie.
Let's go back to December 20th of 2019, the Christmas celebration, the last Charlie Evers show before Christmas, December 20th, 2019. Here's what happened for 3 minutes. Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft, myself are the guests. This was coming out of the last break of that particular day. It's about 3 minutes long. Here we go. Buckle up.
Okay, we're back once again here at your Christmas program today. Yes, it sure is Christmas, isn't it?
And we've still got another hour after this.
We do.
The Exchange Club is on.
Oh, that's right, the Exchange Club.
Which will all be, and I heard you saying earlier on how much you really enjoyed the Swap Shop theme song.
Yeah. Oh, don't mention it. Don't mention it. Oh, it's time for Swap Shop. Bring your goods here, we'll sell them for you. Oh, my. I've heard some bad themes, but boy, I tell you, that gets up and walks out.
Well, that was a heck of a job. I mean, the poor fellow is, you know, he's mentally challenged.
Yeah.
What? Oh, no. Gee whiz. That's terrible.
Oh, it's, you know, time for Swap Shop.
Who sings that, don't you? The Swap Shop theme.
Oh, we have an incoming call.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
Jeez.
Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah, are you guys in the swap today?
Do we have what? Are we in the sauce? Yeah, you want to join us in the sauce?
You sound like you're in the sauce today. You're having too much fun.
That's right. You're exactly right.
It's Christmas.
I am feeling pretty good.
Yep, you're having too much fun. All right, Charlie.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, gee whiz.
No more knock for heaven.
Oh, man. We crashed this train. We exactly going off the tracks, man.
We're deep in the sauce today.
Knee deep in the sauce
today. It's 11:48. We need somebody else to put on our card here to give away.
What?
We need another name to put in our giveaway thing.
Yeah. Somebody bring a couple gallons of coffee.
We're not going to give it away till 1 o'clock. We've got an hour and 15.
Oh, well, we're good, yeah.
Yeah, we're just fine today. I'm going to send this tape over to the Emmy police and see if we can get a nomination out of this.
I just think I got to go from here to a doctor. Oh, my land.
Now, you got to remember, for people just tuning in, everybody here has had about 3 eggnogs with a little libation. Holiday libation.
I've had less than any of you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's the holiday spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a holiday spirit.
So how many's Charlie had?
Only a couple.
I think you have four.
Four?
Six.
Four? Four, Charlie. You can't have four.
One for you.
That glass is full.
And that was December 20th, 2019, the last Charlie show before, oh, man, Christmas. Glenn.
That was fun.
I was here for that.
Well, I was somewhere around because I was here for the Christmas event. But
that was the Friday before Christmas.
I was not
year.
Listening. Oh, I probably wasn't here on Friday. Yeah, I came to the Christmas party.
It went off the tracks there.
It did.
About 11:44.
Oh, man. Well, it wasn't quite as antagonistic as I was afraid it might be.
No, I don't think it was meant to be antagonistic.
Just funny.
Oh, it was funny. I cannot help but hear that and laugh, and I was there when it happened, and I laugh every time I hear it. Because to me, that is Charlie at his best, having a good time.
Well, the only trouble is it stopped me all up. I was laughing so hard, now I can't talk.
It's one of those. It's such a... if you know Charlie and you've listened to him for years, it's him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he loved making fun of your theme song.
He certainly did. And he still does.
He still does.
And the reason why I play it and insist on playing it every week is so that he can get upset.
Oh, when he went in. Oh, man. So, Charlie, boy. You know, and again, this is his show.
Yeah.
So that's... But it's just he... It was so funny. I remember sitting here in this room, this very room, when that happened. And
we had moved over here
at that point. Huh. So if anybody has any thoughts on that, give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That was a classic moment in the history of WWGH radio. And all those classic moments, that's live radio for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this station because two things. It's Marion's station. With all our warts and blemishes, we're on and we do what we do. And also, it's things like Charlie, the living legends, icons, as you would say. And it's all the memories that we have in Marion, which is kind of cool. And I'm not a Marion person, but I've learned to enjoy them.
But you know, this station is very live.
Oh, very.
I mean, it's, woo.
Yeah.
No agenda.
Yeah, and we could make some mistakes and get in trouble, but so far, knock on wood, we've been okay.
Well, the mistakes we make, I don't know, are troublesome mistakes. The mistakes we make are just... like that, because we don't have any agenda, and things just tend to happen.
Or any filters.
Or any filter.
Well, there is some filters, but they're in your own head.
Right, but you know, that to me is what has always made live radio so interesting.
Absolutely.
Is that it's happening right now, and you have time. Yeah. Television, you don't have any time.
Right, and we also don't have to make a lot of money to stay on the air, so therefore we can say what's true.
Well, I don't know that money drives anything. I think you can have...
Oh, I think it drives television.
Oh, I think if you have a... I don't, because I think if you have $1 billion and your writers stink and your things are awful, I don't... Like Channel 10, I think, is a good example of that in Columbus right now. They've always had more money than 4 or 6, but they have not always been number one.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I think money drives a lot of stuff on television. It drives, a lot of, I remember on radio, it's not driving, it's negative force. We had the owner of the building that we were in didn't like what we were broadcasting and said he was going to throw us out of the building. And so, therefore, the owner of my radio station told us we couldn't say whatever it was at the time. We went ahead and did it because it was news, but we didn't get thrown out. You got to be careful of that money thing.
Well, but that's sponsorship. I'm talking about programming.
Oh. Okay.
I don't think it drives the quality of your programming at all.
I think it can, but...
I don't think it can. I think you can pay the most talented person to come in, and if they are bland, and just like Jack Benny said, if the audience doesn't like them, they might make 10 times what the other person on the other station's making, and they're not going to be as popular.
I'm going to have to think about that.
I know that's true.
I think I disagree with you.
You think that if somebody wanted to overtake this station, all they got to do is throw money at somebody... And that's going to make that station better. Just immediately because they paid more money for the person.
I think it could make the productions. You know, if somebody wanted to pay to buy us good, really top drawer.
I don't think people
equipment
care.
And
I,
people.
I don't
a good engineer.
I think
not that you're bad.
No. I think that is wrong because I think if it's true, people like. Things would be more scripted. Things would be more professional and polished. Things would be, because that's what money does.
Well, I think there are a lot of things that are scripted and polished, and I think they suck.
But I don't think they were the most, right, and there you go.
Yeah, I think we agree, but we disagree on the thing.
I don't think you can walk in. I don't think the highest paid morning host in Columbus has the best ratings. I don't think it works that way.
That's probably true.
So there you go.
But I think if you would...
Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back here on WWGH Radio, Charlie Evers Show, Glenn Goble, Scott Spears, filling in for Charlie Evers. Here's the example of this rule. Okay. In evening news in the 70s, number one was Walter Cronkite. Number two was John Chancellor over at NBC. And ABC did not have an evening news that was any good at all. They had Harry Reisner, and it wasn't doing very well. So they went to Barbara Walters and paid her more money than they'd ever paid it. It paid her $1 million. First person in news ever to make $1 million a year. Paid Barbara Walters $1 million to come from NBC to ABC to anchor their evening news. First woman to do it. Dead last place the entire time that she was there. And they built the big sets. They had better sets than the other shows. They had the best equipment. They had the highest paid anchor. She came over with great fanfare from NBC. Couldn't overtake even two. They could not get out of number three because money is not quality. If money were quality, then a lot of people who did not make a lot of money in radio would be considered poor, and they're not poor quality. They just made certain choices.
Okay, I'll give you what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying, but I also agree that you can get better raw material if you have lots of money. Now, whether the raw material produces or not is something completely different. But I think you get, instead of getting a handful of coal, you might be able to get a handful of gold or diamonds.
See, I think,
and it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be beautiful. No, it could go to hell in a handbasket.
Well, but see, I think it has much more to do with the person picking the talent. If the person picking the talent has no eye for it, forget it.
Yeah, but
I've always said this. You can put somebody in a situation, and they can be very good. And somebody say, man, that's a great, great person. Man, wow, I didn't... That's a new person. They're the ingenue. They're great. Let's bring them over to this station, pay them a lot of money, get them over here, and they have no idea what to do with them.
Oh,
and
no,
a
yeah.
lot of times... It'd be the biggest disaster you've ever seen.
That's kind of what I was saying. I think that it gives you better raw material. It doesn't promise success because you and I have both seen great raw material fall flat on their face.
As a matter of fact, I could not cite an example where money did buy a broadcast in station programming. Now, it can buy you ad revenues, but can it buy you good programming? I've never heard that happen.
Well, I'm not on NBC, CBS, or ABC, and I'd love to be, but I don't have the talent, so therefore they're not going to pay me.
So, but see, that's based on talent, not money.
No, but they wouldn't get me if I had lots of talent and they didn't pay me.
Well, see, I don't know if that's true, though, because I think that you can come out with a lot of talent and your first contract's going to be very small. So they've got the most talented person in the world and they've got them locked in for 5 years at a certain amount of money.
But will they be able to keep them? I don't think they'd be able to keep
them.
It's like a baseball player that makes $15 million a year. They may have terrible years, but you're not going to get the my phone is ringing. You're not going to get the best player. You're not going to get the best second baseman if you're only going to pay $100
but I think that,
a year.
Well, but see, I think sports is different than I think like an artist and some people are just loyal. They're just loyal. They choose loyalty over money. Or
I don't believe that's true anymore in sports.
there are many stories of people who just like the situation they were in, and they were making enough money, so they didn't care to go to another situation that would have paid them more.
I'm kind of that way. I have never been a money person, but there are an awful lot of people, and I would say a majority of people, especially at the high levels, that care a great deal about money.
I just have seen it happen. It's the worst disaster every time it happens. If you're number one, you don't care because you're number one. So number two and number three decide, well, we're going to throw a lot of money at something to bring it in here, and that's going to make us number one, and it never works in broadcast. Never works.
No, I don't think... I don't think that money is going to be the panacea and correct anything. But I believe that you get a better quality of actor, a better quality of announcer, a better quality. You get a better field of people that want to get into it.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah,
because I would say the best broadcasters just in Marion, and I know what these people made, were not the highest paid.
I'm trying to think who the best broadcaster in Marion is, with the exception of yourself and
myself.
Oh,
yes, that's right.
I can't think if there were that many great ones anyway, but there were.
Were not the highest paid.
No.
And
unfortunately, radio has always been terrible.
Well, it depends on who you are. It depends on who you are and what deal you've made. I think Howard Stern would disagree. I think Rush Limbaugh would disagree. I think Sean Hannity would disagree. I don't know if that's true.
Why do they pay them?
Well, I think it is based on quality, but you've got to come in and create that quality. See, that's where I think the difference is. You don't show up because of money. You show up because you want to be good.
Well, I think there are different types of people. I think some people, like myself, don't give a rat's behind about money. Other people, that's all they care about.
And well, you can't be driven by, and that's my point. If you are driven by money in an entertainment business, you will fail. So if you are taking the job for money, forget it.
I disagree.
Like I said, I can cite the Barbara Walters example. I can cite when they did it with Katie Couric. Years later, CBS paid her a boatload of money to leave the Today failure. Total failure coming over to CBS on their evening news.
But that was a mistake of the programmers, not a mistake of
But
Katie
she was
Couric.
The most paid. She got the
most
money.
Yeah, and I'm not saying the most money is going to bring you the best. I'm just
But that's
saying,
what you said.
I'm saying you can't get the best group of people to select from if you don't pay them money.
Well, I think the people who were number one at that time would tell you different because number three was the most paid, but number one...
Who was number three?
Katie Couric was the highest paid doing that job, so I'm sure she was very happy.
Yeah, I think she was in the wrong place at the right time.
So was Barbara Walters, number three, but got more money than number one.
But they certainly had high-quality people. It just wasn't working.
Which is my point. You can have high-quality people who make more money than anybody else, but it doesn't mean you're going to be number one.
I'm confused.
Well, that's my definition.
I'm confused in what we're arguing about, quite frankly.
Well, you said you can throw money at a problem in broadcasting and make it number one.
Oh, I
that
think
ratings
you misunderstood
are driven.
Me.
That's
no,
what I don't. I don't. Agree
I would
with that.
Never say that.
Yeah.
I don't think you can make anything number one.
We'll replay the tape and see what it is.
Okay, let's do that.
Because I think that's why I went into the Barbara Walters example of they threw money at it.
I don't think you can throw money at anything and make it better. I just think that you get a better selection of talent if you have a higher salary.
I don't know. Because I think talent is like Jack Benny. If the audience likes you, best thing that can happen. If they don't like you, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I don't. I think we're running around the same cow, beating him with different.
Well, no, it's a deep subject because if money could fix problems,
it doesn't.
No, if money could fix broadcasting problems, the station that had the most revenue would be the number one station, and it's not. A lot of times, programming drives it.
Trying to remember who the number one station in America is. I don't know.
Well, you would have to...
Certainly
well, like,
Howard Stern wasn't there, but he gets
well,
a lot of money.
But he did okay. He did... Well, like, that's a
His
good...
His show sucks.
But he does great.
Yeah, I know
and
he does.
And very highly paid.
I know he is.
So, it just... And I... But that whole idea...
And you sound like him sometimes.
Well, no, but people who say money, I think that's somebody who never made any money. When people say you can't make money in radio, well, I think probably made the wrong decisions.
Yeah, that's why I didn't stay in it.
Yeah. Well, I think also if you have no... Listen, I saw what some of the people were making back in the early days of radio, and I see what some of the people are making now in radio, and I think it depends on where you are and what you're doing.
Oh,
if you're in a big pool... Well, sure. It's much harder.
But how do you get to the big markets, which is where the money is, because they have the money? How do you get to the big markets? I never did understand how you get to the big markets.
Well,
is it talent?
Sometimes.
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 It sounds to me like you don't believe that it is talent.
I don't think it always is. Because I think some people turn deals down because they don't want to leave where they are.
Okay.
They don't want to go to certain areas. I mean, I did that very early in radio. First station I started working at, I had a job offer at another station, and I turned that down. So I don't know.
Speaking of the big money man.
Oh, is this the big money
just
man?
Just walked in.
Yes.
Mr. Icon himself.
Icon. That's exactly right.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
Jeff Ruth just brought in a media guide from the Valparaiso University Crusaders.
Oh, look at you.
And I graduated from Valparaiso University. I knew none of these guys. They wouldn't even talk to me because I was a...
You didn't have enough money, Glenn. If you had some money, they would have talked to you.
I was a thespian. Talk to Jeff about money. He was making the big bucks.
Yeah, he made the talent translates into money, doesn't it?
Is this one for me, Jeff?
All of those are.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you got to. Oh, he's got all sorts of media guides. That's what I did when I was in athletics.
I figured you would like to look at
those. I am going to spend a week looking at those.
There you go,
Jeff. Come on in.
That's right. We got time here, Jeff.
We're just trying to kill
time.
We'll get your opinion on this whole subject that we're in the middle of. We're not doing Family Feud.
No, we're got talking. Into that. We're arguing.
Yeah. Okay. And it is about broadcasting. Is that the person who makes the most money, are they the best on the air?
Oh, no.
That's what I think. See, I agree with that.
No, see, I never said they were the best. I just said you get a better talent pool if you pay more money.
See, I don't know what that means, though.
Okay. Well, then I...
Well, what do you mean by that, a better talent pool?
Well, you get...
If WMRN paid a lot of money, then they would have had...
Sean Hannity.
I don't want to say they would have had better people. They might have had more talented people. But like with Scott Shaver and Paul and myself, I mean, we were in the community. And you can't, I mean, you could, I mean, if, they could pay us a whole lot of money, but if you didn't enjoy what you were doing and you didn't get out in the community and promote it, then it's kind of all for naught.
Well, like locally, I know, not WDIF now, but when the original WDIF came to town, I know people at DIF were making a lot more money than MRN because they threw money at a lot of people to get them over there. DIF never passed WMRN in the ratings.
No.
They made a lot more money over there, but they never surpassed WMRN.
Huh.
So money did not translate. And people, they had better equipment. They had better facilities. You know, and WMRN never even tried to compete. They never upped their game at all. But yet, because they were there and they were consistent... And they had consistent people. They stayed number one.
Yeah.
And we're taking over now.
we're taking over now. That's exactly right. But no, I never understood that whole throw money at somebody and that's going to fix your problem.
No, and I really don't want people to think that's what I was saying. I don't think you can throw money at people and get them better. I think it just gives you a better pool to select from.
I mean, they could have given me an extra $5,000 a year. And I don't know that I would have done anything different.
There you go. And that isn't that it? Isn't, I mean, somebody could come in right now to anybody in this room and go, we want you on NBC. We'll pay you $1 million a year.
I'm gone.
But are you going to get any better? I mean, what about $1 million is going to make you any better?
Well,
nothing.
It would put more pressure on you to get better.
Would it?
Yeah, it would be.
I think
Scott,
you try to do the best
job. Did
you
know that Halley's Comet used to fly over Marion every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Halley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, WWGH Radio, 45 minutes past the hour. Glenn Coble, Jeff Ruth in here. Jeff, tell people about your show.
Oh,
I know you're making the big money there. Talent translates into money.
We tried to offer him $1 million, but he wouldn't come over
for the million.
I do about 3 or 4 interviews a week. I do them all on Wednesday afternoons. I do them all on the phone. In fact, I'm stopped here, and I haven't been to the bank in like 6 weeks. Because I'm not spending any money.
Do you have any?
Well, I have more now because I'm not. I got that $1,200.
Oh, that's right. You got the stimulus.
Yeah, and I'm not spending money on anything. So I'm actually going to go to the bank for the first time, like in 6 weeks, and I'm going to get something to eat, and I'm going to go out and.
You can't possibly be feeding yourself as well as you did when you were going to all those press boxes.
Oh, no, that's what, last night I had bacon and eggs last night.
Oh.
I mean, Cinco de Mayo, I would have been, at El Campesino's or Mi Jalapeno or something like that.
And spent $15.
At least, yeah. Instead, I had bacon and eggs.
It's different.
It really is.
Now, do you wear a mask when you go out?
Yes and no. I don't really go out much. I do have a mask in the car. In fact, I almost thought about putting it on coming up here, but I just, since it was here. But if I'm going into Kroger's or something like that, I'll wear a mask.
So what do you make of this whole thing?
Cubbies, my cub mask.
Yeah.
As we go in now to opening some things, what have you made of this mess?
Nobody has any idea what's going to happen. They just keep moving things back and back and back. And it's been what now? 7 weeks, almost 2 months.
Yeah, 2 months.
And it doesn't seem like it was 2 months ago that all of this happened.
What about I think it is the first in history, Marion County Fair cancels.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
What about all those kids with the animals?
Well, aren't they going to do something with the kids?
They're going to move something back. In fact, I'm actually talking with Cindy Wood this afternoon. We're going to do an interview that they are going to do something kind of to acknowledge the work that's been put in. That's going to be back. That'll be later in July. But I think at this point, you know, they don't really know what's going to happen.
Well, I know talking to the mayor yesterday, the popcorn people are meeting with him on May 21st, and I guess something will come of that.
Okay.
Well, I used to go to the Sale of Champions every year.
Tell that story. I don't know if you told this story on this station.
I don't know if I have or not.
I love this story.
Okay. Well, I went to the Sale of Champions my first year here, and I'm not a country boy. And my boss said, if you can get a champion for under $500, that'd be great. And so I went there and she said, but probably you'll only be able to get chickens and ducks for that type of money. Well, this feeder calf came up, and they started at $375, and I thought, well, I can bid. I know it's going to go higher than that. It got up to $475, and I had the bid, and I figured, this is fantastic. And I won. And the lady behind me tapped me on the shoulder. She said, did you know that was $475 a pound?
Yeah. Oh.
I spent $2,600 on that feeder calf, and I only had $500.
Oh,
so
man.
I every year, but you know what? That record for the highest paid feeder calf per pound held for 10 years, I think it was.
So how'd your boss take that?
Well, she was Hindu. They don't believe in killing beef. She was not real happy, but she was, I must say, Vidya was very kind to me. My wife asked me if I was going to lose my job, but I didn't.
That sounds like a little bit of a rough way to go.
Well, we got a lot of publicity out of it for years.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing. Yeah. Well, in that case, money did matter.
Yeah, it did.
Money mattered in that particular case.
And every year, after I found out I could do that, every year I bought more stuff than I had the money for. We paid for it, but it was great fun. But fantastic to go meet those kids. Those are the most motivated, kindest kids. I got to tell you another story. I bought two ducks from this young man. First year he was selling ducks, and they all come up to you and ask you what you want to do with their animal, you know, and you know what that means. And he came up to me, and you could see he had been crying. And he came up to me, he said, Mr. Koble, would you like me to have your ducks fixed? I don't know what he said, but I knew what he meant. I said, now put them back out on your pond. And the kid went crazy. He was so happy. Now he could keep those ducks. That's a tough lesson to learn, that they've got to kill the animals that you're selling.
You know, you talked about the Marion County Fair, and it wasn't a big moneymaker for us the last few years when Charlie was there. I mean, he started at 7:30 in the morning, and he'd go till 9, 10 o'clock at night for the whole week. And we were out there in the afternoon, and we'd do two reports every hour, starting like, well, we always did Morning Magazine out there. And then in the afternoons, we did two, and we would get the different kids on. Yeah. We'd talk about, you know, maybe somebody with the ride company or whatever. But, I mean, each of those was sponsored. And we made a lot of money at the Marion County Fair. Now, the last few years, we just, you know, not as many people, and we didn't do as well. But, you know, that's one of those things you always look for as a local station to kind of make your mark, get a lot of interviews, make some money.
Yeah.
You don't have that opportunity now.
No, the years we did the Marion County Fair, it was fun because we took all the shows over there, which was, and by that time, we could do it electronically, so we didn't have to set up, you know, poles and Marty's and things like that. So it was it's a fun experience, and it was fun to take Charlie over there because he knew what he was talking about.
And everybody knew him.
Well, but just, he knew, when he talked to those kids, he knew about the animals.
Yes.
And he knew what they went for and what they had went for, and so he had a frame of reference that nobody else had. So those years with him over there were a lot of fun.
Yeah, and sometimes you'd get people, I should have come in an hour earlier today. Sometimes you get people, and they were just, we had a couple of benches out, and we had a trailer there, and we had a couple of benches out in front of where we broadcast.
Yep, I remember
and
that.
People would, some, and they would just sit there sometimes 2 or 3 hours, and that's all they wanted to do was talk, and you're trying to line up interviews or whatever, and that's all they wanted to do was talk. And sometimes you just had to go into the trailer for like 10 minutes and it's just close the door and it's like, ah! Okay, I'm ready to go back out.
Yeah. That's where I met Charlie's daughter, sitting on that bench in front of your station. Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing, the fair. But boy, the fair can be rough, though, because we were in the Coliseum every year we did it. Uh-huh. And there's no air conditioning in there.
Yeah.
And when you have a hot July, oh, it's awful. It's misery. I remember the year we took Charlie and Marge over there, and they were both in their 80s at that time, but both wanted to go. And you know, sometimes it's a little walk just from where you park to the Coliseum, and then you get in there and you have no fans, no air conditioning. It can be a little rough.
It's kind of rough in the winter, too, when there's some snow about 2 feet deep outside, and it gets a little cold in there.
Do they ever turn on the heat or the air conditioning at the Coliseum?
Costs too much.
Is that what it is? It's a price thing.
Back to money, yeah.
Little money thing. I don't know. It's a shame that it won't happen this year. I wonder that, will there be fireworks? You have to ask that this afternoon, Jeff.
Toss that in there. Okay.
Well, because you could do that without opening the fair.
And you could keep social distancing, just requiring people to park.
Well,
10
you don't
feet
have to come there to watch the fair. People sit over at the grocery store and watch the fireworks.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But, I mean, you would have to do that with, like, the demo derby and the tractor pulls. Obviously, those aren't going to happen. But the fireworks, are we going to have no firework display in Marion? I haven't heard.
No, I don't. I'll ask her that.
Yeah. So people can listen to that today?
No, that'll be taped sometime next week.
Next week. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, so, and it's on every day at 7 and 3.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
It's like 7:05 and 3:05.
Okay. He would have been on every day, but they didn't pay him enough money.
The money wasn't there. And they go for 10 minutes.
About 10 minutes. Yesterday, now, again, most of we record on Wednesday, and they play then the following week. Yesterday, it was
it's tough to get old, isn't it?
Winnie Brewer, who's with the school lunch person from the Marion City Schools, talking about what they're going to do in the summer and how well that program has worked. And do you remember this song, Lunch Lady, School Lunch Lady, Adam Sandler?
Oh, yes.
That did that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I haven't thought of that song in years. Well, Tom had that in his system. So we did the interview with Winnie, and then we followed it up with School Lunch Lady. And then last night I'm watching Jeopardy, and they had a question. They showed a picture of a sloppy Joe, and they said in Adam Sandler's Lunch Lady song, they made meatloaf into this. And the answer was sloppy. Ah. It's been years since I've even thought of that song, and then it comes up twice in a day.
Yeah, that's the way things usually go. I think as this whole thing goes on, do you think it'll have any lasting impact?
Oh, we'll have tales about this.
Tales is one thing. I'm talking about societal.
Financially, I mean, there's going to be businesses
that are
there's going to be a lot of businesses that go under.
But are we going to be cognizant of how clean we are? Are we going to leave the things up at the grocery store between the customer and the employee? Are we going to wear gloves? Are people going to become a little crazier about disease?
I think once we get an injection to help us, that things will loosen up quite a bit.
I mean, I'd be surprised if we go back to all these buffets.
Yeah.
You think the buffets will be done?
I think a lot of the buffets will be done. Yeah.
I think you might be right.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the lasting impact will be because, you know, in Marion, we've only had one person die who was not incarcerated. So I think here it doesn't feel as big. I just don't think it does.
I think, didn't you mention, didn't the government mention that there were like 121 people in Marion that have the...
I think have it, but most of them are recovering at home when Tracy Kinsler was on yesterday.
If you take the prisons out of this...
It's not a huge number. No, and only one death. One, period, till this point.
Let's hope that stays that way.
Yeah. I mean, they're talking about... You know, there was an interview on one of the Columbus stations last week. They interviewed the guy from the Memorial Tournament at Muirfield, and they're still planning to have... with fans, the Memorial Tournament in July. I don't think there's any way.
I'm not going.
I don't know.
I don't think there's any way you can have a golf tournament with fans in...
Yeah, because they get six real close.
In 2 months.
Well, when we know on May 21st, because apparently that's when the Popcorn Festival will have to make some decision, are we going to go through with this or not, knowing we're not going to have a vaccine by September, which I think is pretty well a done deal. I don't think anybody's projecting that it'll be that fast. Yeah, is there any way to have a popcorn festival in this world?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how we will. But
I was surprised the fair canceled that quick. I think the mayor was too. That, you know, it's the first week of July, but then Prospect canceled their 4th of July celebration not too long after. Yeah.
Okay, because I was supposed to MC that.
You're out.
There goes the big bucks. I had gotten a call a couple of months ago. It was Randy Winland was working on this along with old woman.
You didn't say an old woman, did you?
I said you hate to get old, but she called me a couple of months ago and asked if I would MC the program, and I said I'd love to, but I hadn't heard that they.
Yeah, I think it canceled on Tuesday. Day after the fair. Whenever they canceled the fair, it was the next day.
Okay. And a slight tear rolls up in his eye.
Well, that's interesting. They call you to invite you. They don't call you to tell you not to come.
You're out of luck.
You're right. But this is not going on this year. But it's a funny thing because that's July, and we're talking about opening things now and wearing masks here in May, and the stay-at-home orders in effect until May 29th. But May 29th to July 4th, we've got a whole month and 2 weeks. Well, yeah. Apparently, I don't think a whole lot's going to change.
Well, I don't think anybody really knows the answer to that. I think Jeff is absolutely right. We don't know what's going to go on.
I mean, I got up yesterday at 10:45. I watched some TV.
Sorry, I went back so hard.
Yeah, I went back. I laid down about 4:00, took a little bit of a nap, got up about 5:45, had bacon and eggs, watched some TV. I went to bed around midnight last night, and I just laid there. Because, you know, I had taken a nap in the afternoon, and it's just, I didn't need to sleep, and it's just, and you hate that feeling when you're just laying in bed. It's not like I had to get up for anything this morning, but, yeah, I decided I can't really take a nap in the afternoon, because if you do, it really...
Knocks your sleep schedule off.
Yeah, it knocks your schedule off. But, again, I'm just, other than going out on Wednesdays to do some interviews, I got nothing.
That's about it. Well, I do want to remind people coming up right after this, Glenn Coble is going to have a survivor of the Kent State shooting, somebody who was shot 50 years ago this week, 2 days ago, 50
Dean
years
Kaler.
And 2 days.
Yep.
Coming up right after this show, that'll be live here on this station, and we've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond today, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 to 7 p.m., and we'll all be back tomorrow morning. Glenn, you'll be here. I'll be here starting at 8 tomorrow morning. And Charlie, feel better soon. This has been the Charlie Evers Show on WWGH Radio. Phyllis, what is your favorite part of the convention? What do you like to do the best while you're here?
Well, my specialty has been the platform committee, and I've worked very hard on that, as you can see in my new book called How We Made the Republican Party Pro-Life. And I follow that very closely. And while I was not on the platform committee this time, my people were, and they were well trained. And we have, I think, the best platform ever.
What do you think makes it the best platform ever?
Because it's right issues. It's on national sovereignty.